This is the message delivered by Pastor Hon on July 9, 2023. The message title is Therefore, and the scripture passage is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Good morning. Let us read from today's scripture passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let me ask you one question. What is the gospel? What does the Bible say the gospel is? Man is born a sinner, a child of God's wrath, but to those who accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior for their sins, eternal life is given, and when they die, they go to the kingdom of heaven instead of hell and live forever with the Lord God. Is this the gospel? Of course it is. However, to be precise, this would be a one-sided gospel. It is because the importance of living in this land is completely missing. As a person who has been given eternal life, and has been given the privilege of living forever with God in the dwelling place of God, how to live on this earth and in this world is completely missing. So it is a one-sided gospel. To be honest, as human beings, we all worry about how to live in this world. And the Bible, the gospel that the Bible speaks of, is not an unrealistic story that is far from how we should live in this world. Rather, much of what the Bible says is about how we should live in this world as human beings. From today, we will enter chapter 4 of the study of Ephesians, but the book of Ephesians can be roughly divided into the first three chapters 1 to 3 and the latter half of three chapters 4 to 6. Chapters 1 to 3 are about the core doctrine of the Christian faith, and chapters 4 to 6 talk about the practice of those doctrines and how to live them. Practice is essential for a doctrine to demonstrate its value as a doctrine. A doctrine without practice is not only useless, but may even become a poison. In the long history of Christianity, there have been times when the Church has wasted a lot of time immersed in doctrinal debates that were not accompanied by practice. People who were congenitally endowed with excellent intellectual thinking ability by God were so absorbed in the study of Christian doctrine that they spent their entire lives only satisfying their own intellectual desires. The Church has repeatedly failed to pay attention to how we apply doctrines existentially and how we are transformed by these doctrines. Or, because of our obsession with certain passages of scriptures and certain teachings, there have been a number of heresies and sects. Then, if you ask, is there no need for doctrine? It is not so. If there is no doctrine, it becomes insubstantial. Practice without doctrine is like hitting the sky. There is no answer. The only thing that remains is that, although we do not understand well, There is the self-satisfaction of doing it for the time being, and the emptiness and fragility that comes after self-satisfaction. It could be said that the world we live in is haunted by emptiness and fragility that is like striking the sky because there is no doctrine of the true God. Also, Christians often judge men and the world based on their own image of Christianity, of the Bible, of God, of life, of their own thinking of life, and of their own ethical and moral view by combining them with their favorite Bible verses, only one verse or a few gathered verses, or the verse that is hung on the wall at home with their own experience, common senses, the standard of good and bad instead of a doctrine that Bible speaks about, the essence of Christian doctrine written in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3. Whether consciously or unconsciously, they even judge the word of the Bible with their own values to fall into the illusion that they are doing okay as believers. Of course, we are still sinners with our sins, so we cannot all be perfectly right, but we must always be very careful about the proper practice of God's word. We must read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation, follow the teachings of the entire Bible, receive guidance, and put it into practice in this world. Following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul clarified in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 the core contents of the doctrines, such as the purpose, principles, promises, and hopes of the Bible teachings from Genesis to Revelation. For what? It is for the practice after chapter 4. The purpose of Apostle Paul writing Ephesians was, in a sense, to encourage practice from chapter 4 onwards. Then the foundations, motivations, and reasons necessary for the practice are described in chapters 1 through 3. So, how do you practice the essence of Christian doctrine written in chapters 1 through 3? How do you practice that doctrine? It's as in chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Read it again. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is no better answer to the question, what is the practice of doctrine? The content here is the entire practice of the word and Christian doctrine. To pay most attention to whether or not we are living the content far beyond human knowledge, as written in Ephesians chapters verses 1 to 3, means for me to think straight, watch, pray, and dedicate whether or not the words in verses 2 and 3 are reflected in my way of life, become a goal, a guideline. If we do that again, we will surely hang our heads down. You will have to kneel down and beg for the Lord's forgiveness. We must remember the face of the person to whom we could not treat as in the word, and the feelings of wanting to apologize, feelings of wanting to be forgiven, and the feelings of being sorry will rise up from the depths of our hearts. At last week's communion service, we shared the phrase, "Let us live the communion every day." Some time ago, a senior pastor of a church in America, after reading the words of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 said to the congregation, "If there any of you who read these words and felt hurt, please resolve the things that hurt you first, and then accept the bread and wine of the communion." What is written in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 29? "So then, whoever eats and bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." Then a number of those who had heard the pastor's message at the church rose to their feet. Some approached and spoke to those sitting elsewhere, and some left the chapel. There were no mobile phones at that time, so the people who left the chapel started lining up at the public phone outside the chapel and calling the persons that came to their mind to apologize, ask for forgiveness, and said they were sorry for what they have done. It's amazing. The pastor who spoke like this was amazing. The people who responded immediately to the words spoken to them were amazing, and I think it was most amazing that the Holy Spirit led them to practice the doctrine. Indeed, they received the grace of the practice of the word and of the practice of the doctrine. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1 and through as follows. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 17 through 19 says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength." Ephesians chapter 3 verses 17 through 19. "Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of Christ." It was not for our complacency that Paul prayed, "May we know, may Christ indwell, may we be filled." He did not pray that he would be able to assert his greatness or that he was being loved by saying, "I am a Christian who is loved by God. I'm loved and affirmed by God." Not to satisfy our intellectual, material, physical, or mental needs, but for practical purposes, he prayed for the practice of God's word. In other words, to live. It is for people to live like people, as people, to live the word of God, to put the word of God into practice, to see God's love manifested and the word of God alive and at work. Paul prayed, "May we know, may Christ dwell in you, may we be fulfilled he prayed. The purpose of faith is not to remain in knowing or being fulfilled. It was the same with Jesus. When Jesus was only 12 years old, in the temple of God, he had a discussion with the scribes about the Bible. He excelled and outperformed all the expert scribes who were there because Jesus is Logos, the Word. In other words, knowing the Word of God, there was no one who surpassed Jesus. Therefore, one might think that it would have been better if Jesus had begun his public life as the Messiah and Christ right away, even though he was called a prodigy, but Jesus did not do so. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23, it is written that Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public life. He who knows everything more than anyone else lived in human society as a commoner, got to know people, and practiced living the Word in human activities. Knowing the pains of people, knowing the absurdity, knowing weakness, knowing poverty, sympathizing, and lived among the sinners in the sinful world, although he himself did not know sin. Finally, in order to heal sinners, comfort them, and make them both born again, when he began his public life, the first words he spoke to people were the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5. The first word he spoke was, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." The very word of God in the Old Testament lived and practiced among people, and the opening words of the first sermon of the New Testament were, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them." For many people who felt that being poor was pain, being poor was hurt, being poor was suffering, being poor was an absurdity, being poor was like destiny, it was for the first time that the word poor sounded hopeful. Material wealth and material poverty do not determine a person's happiness, but the state of mind before God determines a person's true poverty and a person's true wealth. He spoke to the people with words that were full of real feelings. Then, in order to show that the words he spoke were true, he was crucified. The ultimate example of the practice of God's word and showed people salvation. Imitate Jesus, Paul says, remembering what Jesus has given, knowing the boundless breadth, length, height, and depth of what Jesus has done, and how Jesus helped people be of humility and meekness, show long suffering, be patient with one another in love, be bound in bonds of peace, and be zealous in unity in the Spirit. Apostle Paul speaks and encourages the practice of the whole gospel, the essence of the gospel, and not a partial gospel. The English alphabet has 26 letters. Do you know which letter of the alphabet represents Jesus Christ? It is X. In Greek, Christ is called Christos, but the initial letter is X, and in Greek it is read as Ki. And Ki, the letter X, is the initial letter of Christos. Therefore, Christmas is sometimes written as Xmas, but this X is not originally an English X, but an expression that comes from the Greek word ki, Christos. Interestingly, the shape of the letter X, the key, and the characteristics of the letter are like hieroglyphs that represent the way Jesus lived and the way Christians live. The letter X is made up of two bars of the same length that are exactly in the middle and cross in the same way. The upper half part of X and the lower part of X are exactly the same in length and volume. One day, a biblical expert called a scribe came to Jesus and tried to test him, saying, Let's make him embarrassed in front of the people. He asked Jesus a question with a disgusting conviction. Teacher, you have enough knowledge of the Bible to drive people crazy, but let me ask you one question. What is the most important teaching and most important commandment in the Bible? The reason why he asked this question is because at that time, the scribes classified the words of the 39 books of the Old Testament into 613 commandments, and among those 613 commandments, which a commandment was the most important, that was what they were arguing every day. The situation is like an endless fight. It was just to be proud of their knowledge and eagerness to study, and there was little interest in how much they practiced and lived the words of God, how much they surrendered themselves before the word of God to transform themselves. Perhaps touching their pride, if Jesus said, "This Bible teaching is the most important," then they would say, "No, teacher, that is not the most important. This teaching is better. It's excellent, and in this era, that commandment that you said are the most important is outdated, and now it is the commandment that is accepted by people now and is riding the current of the time. You are supposed to be a son of God, but don't you know that?" However, as a matter of course, Jesus sees through the motives of such scholars of the law. His responses was so perfect that the scribes could not say a word. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Jesus took the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 and the words of Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18. Instead of saying that the Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 was the most important or Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18 was the most important, Jesus said the two commandments and the word are both important. Moreover, he summarized the words of the Bible, saying these two words of commandments hold the whole of the Bible. To cut in half self-satisfying intellectual pursuits of the scribes, Jesus, who naturally saw through the motives of the scribes, gave a perfect answer that was beyond the reach of any probing. And the words, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, are both words of practice. It is a word that brings satisfaction, not by what you have received, but by practicing it. Furthermore, he says, these two commandments are the basis of the entire Bible. In those days, 2,000 years ago, there was no New Testament, only the Old Testament. The commandments that summarize the entire volume in one and what the Word of God is the Ten Commandments of Moses written in Exodus chapter 20. The 66 volumes of the New and Old Testaments were recorded by God using the hands of about 30 people over a period of about 1,500 years. The Ten Commandments were written by God Himself with His own fingers on the stone. The Ten Commandments can be broadly divided into two parts. It can be divided into the first to fourth commandments and the fifth to tenth commandments. The contents of the first to fourth through fourth commandments are our attitude toward God, such as, there shall be no other gods before me, nor shall you make idols, observe the Sabbath, and so on. It is what Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your life, with all your intellect. The contents of the fifth to tenth commandments are our attitude towards people, such as honor your parents, do not kill, do not steal, do not commit adultery, and so on. Jesus summarized them as love your neighbor as yourself. None of scribes who were twiddling God's word could notice the essence of the gospel that had been overlooked. Jesus found it in the word that was scribed by God with his fingers, the Ten Commandments of Moses, and declared it in one short, concise statement. The truth is always clear and concise. It is not the truth if they are specialized entrustments that only the specialists can understand. Let us go back to the letter X from earlier. The point where the two bars of X intersect can be compared to our existence. The two bars upward from the point of the intersection extends towards the heaven, and the two bars downwards from the point of intersection extend to spread towards the ground. In other words, the one character expresses the love of God above and the love of people below. In other words, God's love is concentrated from above towards the point of intersection, and the love that is poured out is applied to people through the point of intersection, that is, through our existence. And above all, Jesus himself lived the way of life represented by the letter X on this earth. Not only did he receive the love of God the Father, but he also loved God the Father and showed the love he received to others. And the way he showed that love was the cross. The cross is also a cross X. The initial letter of Christos is also X, and the initial letter of Christianos in Greek for Christian is also X. The Apostle Paul wrote down this X in his letter to the Ephesians, which consists of six chapters. Now we have learned in Ephesians chapter 1 through 3 that we have the upper part of the X, to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our life, with all our intellect. And God loves us with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his life, with all his intellect. God loves us. We have prayed not only to learn, but also to know more about, and be fulfilled. And from today onwards, we will study the bottom half of the X, love your neighbor as yourself. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Not only to learn, but also to put into practice is expected and challenged by God the Father. Jesus the Son and God the Spirit of the Trinity. Then I pray, as we make an effort to practice it, we might know more to practice it, we might be filled, and I ask God, please let Christ live in our hearts. I'm very excited. We already have X in our lives. Then what remains is, how do we live that X? How do we express it? And how do we embody it? Let us live X. Let us get to know X. Let us pray.